Good morning, everyone. When Ron was up here this morning making the announcements and stopped what he said short of going into a story that he was going to tell, he said if I did that, Brian wouldn't have enough time. I don't think he knew that I was talking about time in my lesson this morning. It is good to be with you all, and as you just was read to you from the book of Ecclesiastes, we're not going to be spending time in that text. But what was read there lets us know that there's a time for everything. I'm glad that you're here on the Lord's Day morning. Those of you that are visiting with us, we're grateful that you're here. We're glad that you've come our way and taken time out of your schedules to worship with us on this Lord's Day morning. But we're also grateful that it's the Lord's Day morning. It is a time for worship. And yet when I think about time in general and I think about the series of lessons that I've been doing on the first Sunday of each month, the idea, everyday life. And we have problems with certain issues, and time is one of them. We don't always view time the same way, do we? Some people can't be on time. Some people have to be early. Some people don't use their time wisely. Sometimes we waste our time. You think about all the different uses of time. And God created time for us, didn't He? You think about God being an eternal God. Time means nothing to Him, but for us, it has a great meaning. And how we use our time, or if we want to use another word, how we spend our time, may make a difference in the way we live each day. One of the things I know when it comes to time is I'm not a very good handyman, but when there's a job to do and it's only supposed to take an hour, it's going to take me about 2 or 3, maybe 4 hours. So my time gets spent that way. I also know that during the week there are times I catch myself doing things and I'm saying, why am I wasting my time doing this? Thursday night was an example. I watched IU lose to OSU in a football game, and after the third quarter it was a waste of time to watch. But you think about time in general, and you think about what Scripture says and how we all view time and how we use it. It's important to us, isn't it? We have 24 hours in a day. We have 60 minutes in an hour. We have 60 seconds in a minute. We have 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 12 months. All of that is related to time. And it makes me think some, too, of what Job said about man in general. And Job in Job chapter 14 and verse 12 says, man is born of a woman, is a few days and full of trouble. Well, I think we all understand that, don't we? There's a limited amount of time for us to be here on this earth. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. It is one of those things that our life here on earth is limited, and we have to view time in a certain way, and sometimes time becomes an issue for us. Even though we have 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute, have you ever caught yourself saying, I don't have enough time, and yet you really do? Think about this for just a moment. Today comes only once. It is my day of opportunity. What I do with time as it momentarily comes will completely determine my success and happiness in life's entire struggle. That's an uninspired statement. But it's one that when I consider what it says is today only comes once. What I have today, I don't get back because it becomes tomorrow. What I have today, I can't have tomorrow because tomorrow is not here. I have to use my time now. Another comment was made like this: God created time and gave it to us. It is His fundamental gift, for all other gifts are conditioned upon it. Why should we give it so grudgingly to His service? Why should we not lavish time upon the things that God knows and we know are the vital things? And I like the middle part of this. Why should we give it so grudgingly to His service? Talking about God. So that means you can't complain if this sermon goes overtime, right? No. I'm not going to do that to you. But you think about that. Seriously consider that, because we consider worshiping together 3-4 times a week maybe. And we spend an hour, 2 hours, we spend 3 hours on Sundays. And some people complain. And yet, like Thursday night, you can sit in front of a television set and entertain yourself or waste your time watching some things for 3-4 hours at a time and not complain once. It really depends on our use of time, where our heart is at the time. Now, there are problems then that we all face relative to time, isn't there? You think about this. I have problems, you have problems, we all have problems when it comes to time. And so we have to learn some things. You know, you cannot kill time without injuring eternity. Have you thought about that? And when I'm talking about your eternity by wasting time. Thoreau said that. Therefore, because our days are few in number, time presents problems for all men. So, what I must do is I must learn my frailty. Just like was stated by Job, the psalmist says this, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. That lets us know that this earthly tent that we live in is only temporary. It is very frail and fragile. Life is very fragile. We see that all the time. We mentioned, or Ron mentioned this morning, that some of our members have lost loved ones here recently. All of us at some point in time in our lives are going to lose someone to death. It's what we do with the time while we're alive that determines where we live eternally. Though our days may be few, we can put a lot of living into them. We live by deeds and not by breaths. You know, by feelings and not simply by ticks of the clock. We know that life is short and that for the other fella, but we need to learn that time is not a respecter of lives either. I also need to learn to protect my body, caring for my health, so that my days may be lengthened. Psalm 90 and verse 10 in that very same psalm, a few verses earlier. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Time is a reality for us in this temporal setting that we live in now. Time is something that just in a few short days, you know, someone will have a birthday. Someone's having a birthday today. Someone had a birthday yesterday. Time is creeping up on us. You know how you're getting older is when your kids make a birthday cake for you and they put more candles on the cake than your actual birthday to make you try to feel old because time is passing by. I look at this and learning that keeping myself healthy is good. But I also need to learn how to redeem the time. Think about this for just a moment. We're encouraged to do that by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, redeeming the time. It's a wise thing to do. But that word redeem there means to buy back. How do we buy back time? Well, let me suggest it has more meaning than just simply buy back. Because it has to do with the use of the time. And how wisely we use the time that we have. Because I know that once time is spent, I cannot purchase it again. If we have wasted a lot of time in our lives, and here we are given instruction to buy all the time we can. What's that telling me? That idleness is a problem for Christians. Not just for the entire world, but for God's people. Then there's that daily temptation of procrastination. It was a joke when I moved to New Mexico, when Cindy and I moved to New Mexico in 1998. We moved there, and what we were told as soon as we got there, he said, "You've moved to the land of mañana." What did they mean? Oh, I can do it tomorrow. And we do that, don't we? We catch ourselves there. Sometimes it's something we do on purpose. Sometimes it's something that's so overwhelming to us that we're afraid of it and we keep putting it off. But here's the thing. That daily temptation of procrastination is something that everybody faces. I face it and you face it. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 said this to his reader, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness." He says, learn something from those in the past. Don't make the same mistake today that they made in the past. Use today wisely. Hear God today. Hear His voice now. And when I think about time in general and what it has for us, as a child of God, what should I be doing with my life? Well, you say, you've got it. You're already doing it, Brian. You're a preacher. I said, no, that's not just it. Not just standing in a pulpit, not just simply preparing lessons. My time should be spent living for God, and I should not be putting that off. When you read the Word of God and you see something in it that you may not be doing, don't wait till tomorrow to start. Start today. Listen to His voice. Heed His voice now. Enrich your life in the remaining time that you have. You see, there are a lot of individuals that have trouble with time. You think about this. Tomorrow is the realm of the unknown. It may bring sickness, incapacitation, even death. Health is fleeting, and life does not give us a guarantee that tomorrow will even arrive. Don't boast in tomorrow. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." James talks about life being like a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. That's time. Tomorrow is the yesterday that I put off till today. It was what I was going to do today, but then decided I could put it off until tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day I will sit down and write that letter to an erring brother or sister in Christ. Tomorrow I'll start reading my Bible every day. Tomorrow I'll obey the gospel and be the child of God He wants me to be. Tomorrow. Yes, that's the day for me. That's procrastination. It's understanding that we need to use more wisely the time that we have and use it for God. Think about those that had problems with time. Felix. You know, what's going on in Felix with Felix right now? Paul is standing before him as a prisoner, and he's preached to him about the judgment to come and those things. And Felix says, now as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now." That was time involved in that. Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Well, neither in Scripture nor historically can we find that Felix ever had a convenient time to call Paul back for the purpose of hearing the gospel. What Felix did not do that day was he did not hear God, hear His voice, and heed it, and act on it. And he's not the only one that you see. Jesus talks in parables, and he told a story about the virgins that were waiting for the wedding feast in Matthew chapter 25. Half of them were prepared. What does that mean? And half of them weren't. Well, some of them were prepared to stay an extended time waiting on the bridegroom to come. And the others thought, well, he's going to come. He's not going to be late. And they didn't have enough oil, did they? What we're talking about in our lives as children of God today is using the time in preparation for the Lord's return, but using our time and knowing that it can happen at any time and being fully prepared for when He returns. We're living our life. We said it in the Bible class this morning in Galatians. The Apostle Paul talked about, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. We live our lives, the time that we have here on earth, not simply for ourselves, but for our Creator. But there are a lot of time killers out there. There are things that, you know, you talk about wasting time. You can kill time too. Did you realize that? And you think about that. When we think about our lives as children of God and the things that we have to overcome, think about the time killers that are out there. Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Consider this for just a minute. This is an application that we need to make in our lives. Don't be idle. And then whatever you're doing, especially now, think about this, especially in your service to God, you have to be giving Him 100% effort all the time. Half-hearted service is not sufficient for God. So whatever your hands find to do, your job, your schoolwork, but especially in your spiritual life, do it with all your might. How about reading worthless literature? This country is filled with demoralizing literature. Think about this. Literature that is full of vulgarity, suggestiveness, pornography, political propaganda. Are they something that are soul building? Are these something that are faith strengthening? Are these things that are actually a waste of time, talent, and even ink? Well, some people might agree with that. But there are a lot of people that waste their time reading worthless literature. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12. And further, my son, be admonished by these things. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a wearisome to the flesh. I don't think Solomon was trying to tell his son, don't read anything at all. But be a good judge of your time and what you're reading. Don't waste your time on those things that are not beneficial to you. Do those things and use your time wisely, those things that can make you wiser. Hey, how about this? Paul told Timothy that he had been, since his youth, he had known the Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation. How about spending more than just 35, 40 minutes a day reading God's Word? How about spending time truly doing what the psalmist in Psalm 119, as we read last Sunday evening, when we read that entire chapter, understand that what that person was saying was that meditating on God's Word was not a waste of time. Loving the statutes and precepts of God was not a waste of time. But it all begins with the attitude. It begins with the heart of the individual who has a desire for that. That was that writer right there in Psalm 119. He had a desire for those things. And where our heart is, that's where we're going to spend our time. You think about this, participating in unwholesome recreation. I like to golf. I like to bowl. Some of you like to fish. Some of you like to hunt. When does recreation become unwholesome? Because inherently, some of those things that I've mentioned right there, they're not bad things, are they? But let me suggest something right here, that unwholesome recreation is going to be that which takes you away from God. Anytime it takes you away from God. I want you to listen for just a moment. The world is mad in its pursuit of pleasure. Everyone... I know everyone needs that little bit of rest and relaxation in their lives. We need that time to get away. I remember the commercials on TV, the Calgon commercials, and the mother coming home from work or wherever, Calgon, take me away. They needed that time just to relax and to regain some strength. We all need that. God, even in Scripture, tells us that we need to rest. And rest is not necessarily a waste of time, is it? But you think about the relaxation. Everyone needs to recreate, but we also need to make sure that what we participate in does not tear us down physically, mentally, or spiritually. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Talks about some perilous times that Paul was talking about. And he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It happens. And our application in that is making sure that no, vacations are wonderful. But when you go on a vacation, do you make plans of where you're going to worship when you're gone? You know, a lot, I'm working on a lesson of five misused passages of Scripture. I'm going to give you one right now. Matthew chapter 18, where two or more are gathered together, I am with them also. A lot of people use that verse for on vacation. Well, my wife and I, we're on vacation, we can worship together. Brethren, that's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is right in the middle of disciplining a brother or sister in Christ who has erred against you. It has nothing to do with our gathering together on the Lord's Day. That can become a waste of time. I want you to think about this in just that, not only there, but also holding grudges. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And sometimes we hold on to things so long that it just does that. It kills us from the inside because it's a big waste of time. Give it to God. One sister in Christ told me one day when we were living in Pampa, Texas. She said, let go and let God. Well, that's what this verse is telling us. Let go and let God. Give it to God. Let Him be the one to take care of the wrath. Let Him be the one to take care of the vengeance. Let Him be the one. Don't hold that grudge so long that you cannot even come to a point of reconciliation with somebody. So God would prefer that. He would prefer reconciliation with someone that's done you wrong than you holding on to a grudge and being bitter the rest of your life. That's a waste of time. Well, you can ponder the past too. Well, I tell you what, there's nothing like a good old high school or college reunion, and you go back. Although I say there's nothing like a high school reunion, I haven't been to mine. I've been out of high school 40 plus years. I haven't been to a single high school reunion. I went to my first college reunion last February, my 40th. And it was good to reminisce about the past. But you know what? You can waste time living there. You don't live in the past because where you are is in the present. You think about that for just a moment. You're pondering the past. Paul lamented the fact that he was the chief among sinners. Consider that. He mentioned that several times in the Scripture. He learned, though, to place the past in its proper perspective, didn't he? Philippians 3, Hebrews chapter 8. Place it in its proper perspective. Yes, you can learn from the past, but you don't have to relive the past. You can learn from the errors of the past so that you don't repeat them in the present. But you don't have to be stuck in the past. You know, time travel, we talk about that. You remember the old TV series? What was it? Time Tunnel. You remember that show? Where they would either go forward in time or backward in time, try to fix things. I don't want to go back. If I had a choice and there was one point in time that I would like to go back, I would like to go back to see my Savior face to face. But you know what? I don't have to do that because I see Him right here. I see Him every time I open this book. I know that He can be near me and in me because of this Word. And it's not a waste of time to look at what happened in the past with His life. But it is a waste of my time to dwell on the past of what I used to do. Wasting time worrying about what will happen in the future. You know, worry is just that. Jesus told His disciples that it will not add anything to your life. Anxiety will not add anything to your life. As Christians, we need to accept that faith that God has said, like Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's the last part of that verse is the key to that verse. Those who are called according to His purpose. We cannot see into the future, but we do know that what God has planned for our future. We know that eternity awaits us. We know that the greatest benefit of being a child of God is living eternally in heaven with the Father and the Son. And if we are faithful to Him, that this life, the time that we've spent here on this earth, will have all worked out for that benefit. Turn loose of yesterday because it's gone. Do not reach for tomorrow because it has not come. But grab hold of today, for we live now in the present. Being a busybody, a gossip, is a waste of time. The words of a talebearer are wounds, is what you hear in the King James Version of Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22. Then there's hesitation. I always make a joke whenever we played the game Trivial Pursuit. Think long, think wrong. Go with your first instinct on that. That's what I was always told. He who hesitates is lost is something that we grew up hearing as children. The person who can never make up his mind finds himself in a quandary all the time. We do not suggest making hasty decisions, but what? We want to give careful consideration. Because hasty decisions are just equally as dangerous as no decision at all. And so the person who never makes up his mind lags behind. Don't lag behind like King Agrippa. Remember? Almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost is lost, is what the song says. So let's make life count. Take the time to work with all your might. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Be that representative of God on your jobs that you're supposed to be. But take time to read. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now what do you suppose the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to read though? The Scriptures. Spend time there. Is there benefit to reading other things? Oh yes, there is. But there's nothing that is going to benefit your soul greater than God's Word. By diving into it, meditating upon it, pondering the precepts, the statutes, the commandments of our Father in heaven. Take time to read it. Read it privately. Read it publicly. But read it. Take time to assist others. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Take time to care about the person sitting next to you, behind you, your neighbor, your classmates, your fellow employees, those who are in need. Take time. Take time to laugh. You know, sometimes as children of God, we can walk around looking like we've got the sourest faces in the world. You know, like I've said before, it looks like sometimes we can look like we've been weaned on a sour pickle. But what we need to do is we need to take time to laugh, because laughter is good for the soul too. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. I tell you what, I get a kick almost every night. My wife will burst out laughing at something that she's watching, a little video or something. Or she comes home with a story about kids at school. Just that little bit of laughter can change an attitude instantly. It's better for your health, and it could be better for your spiritual health. Take time to be thankful. Never forget that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful for all things. In everything, be thankful. Be thankful for your spouse. Be thankful for your children. Be thankful for your home. Be thankful for brethren. Be thankful for every blessing that you've got. Be thankful for God's Son. Be thankful. Take time to be a Berean and search the Scriptures daily. Take time to ponder the path that you have chosen. Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 4, he's talking to his son. Solomon's talking to his son again. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. That little song that we sing is for Vacation Bible School. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. That's what Solomon is talking about right there. Let's ponder the path. Make the Word of God that lamp to our feet and a light to our path so we can see where we're going every day. And then take time to serve God. See, I don't think I should have to say that. I don't think anybody who's a child of God should have to hear someone say, take the time to serve God. But the wise man said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. That's right. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why? Because it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I want you to think about this poem, and the lesson will be yours here in just a moment. Think about this. Just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Think about how we use our time, because it will make a difference where we live eternally. So as you're taking out your songbooks for the Song of Invitation, one last question. Are you waiting for the right time to obey the gospel? Are you waiting for the right time to reconcile your life as an erring child of God? Listen to one last scripture. Paul says this, for he says, in an acceptable time. Well, when is the acceptable time? I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time, accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Use your time now to do that which will save your soul. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, act in that faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Him before men, and being buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, to rise and walk in newness of life. Or as an erring child of God, use the time now to reconcile your life to God. We stand ready to encourage you with prayers. Make today your day of salvation. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.